This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelly and Gunsilly. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 50.
Hey, this is Gunsilly from Washington, D.C.
And this is Texelly, once again calling from Altadena, California.
And I want to go ahead and throw some let's go ahead and do advertising.
Sorry, did I already use Altadena?
I think you may have, and I think you've done Altadena.
Altadena? I meant Petaluma.
Oh, so I want to go ahead and since we're not making it big time yet, but we are making it. We are published around the world via iTunes. We're doing advertising, but we're doing free advertising at the moment. So if you want free advertising on a podcast that is published around the world, just email us at the podcast. That's thepodcaste @gmail.com, and let us know your company's name. And this one comes from our subscriber Nick, who is a manager, a corporate manager of Pizza Bolies in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Pizza Bolies, that's pizza. Everyone knows how to spell pizza, and Bolies is B-O-L-I-S. Now to the important stuff. The food is delicious. I actually have been eating Pizza Bolies for years, and even before I met Nick, and now that Nick is in our lives, I'm going to be eating Pizza Bullies much more. So, yes, my friend Nick, our subscriber, and corporate honcho fella at Pizza Bullies. So that's their shout out. Also our first non-sponsor sponsor is D&M Consulting. That's D&M Consulting out of Gaithersburg, Maryland. If your computer is broken, don't let your computer be broken. Fix it. Get it. Call D&M Consulting, and we'll put a link to their stuff on our webpage, dnmconsulting.com, I believe. All right. What do you have? Any? Do you want to advertise?
No.
Do a live read. Figure out what you don't want to do a live read.
No, I mean right now, I will tell people you won't offend me at all if you go with, would you say D&M Consulting there?
D&M, yes.
Because right now we are busy.
Yes.
So yeah, yes, I'm not out stumping for more work right now.
And someone's like, I have a computer problem. You're like, here's someone else's card.
We honestly have been calling, like, you know, people calling, I have this computer problem. And I'm like, fantastic. Here's these other people we recommend. Which, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yes.
It reminds me Mike Holmes quote that good contractors are busy.
I kind of want to start out by saying there was a weird situation that I called Tech up earlier today because I said, hey, what's going on with the cyber securities bill going through Congress? And he's like, what's that now? You mean the TPP? And I said, no, the cyber securities bill. And he's like, all I know is about the TPP. I'm, you know, he follows, his name's Tech. He follows tech blogs.
Yes.
He follows the industry. And he doesn't know about this thing that I'm talking about. And I told him, I was like, listen.
Where I talk about tech.
Yeah. I listen to it sometimes. I tell him, like, for 5 hours, it's been one of the top stories on the news radio here in D.C. for 5 hours. Every hour they've said this thing is going through Congress. And they even have Josh Earnest talking about how it's so important that we need to do this because of the hacking. And he had to dig for it. I told him what it was. He had to dig for it. Finally, he finds it. And then what was it you explained to me?
Okay, so what it is the people behind CISA, CISA, are hammering all of DC with advertising, trying to get them to put it on the ballot. Why in the world would you just flat out spend all this cash on a tiny little market? Because they're the only people who can do anything. Hold on, I'm getting feedback. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
And so I might need to plug in the.
All right, we'll give it long pauses so that we can edit this out.
Long pauses.
Stop.
So you can edit it out. Long pauses.
You're a jerk.
doing a radio ad for long pauses.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm leaving it in, yay, y'all. what the CISA is the part that motivates the people behind it is they want to be able to, the companies that have all your data, like Apple and Time Warner and those guys, they want to be able to hand your data over to the government and protect their tuchuses from getting sued by the people that hand the data over. The proponents are saying, hey, this is great because it protects these companies from lawsuits, which helps the investors, helps the bottom line. People that are concerned about privacy are like, hey, it's bad enough that you jerks have our data. And B, you're going to hand them to the government who we don't trust because, holy crap, even the director of the CIA got hacked today. So, and apparently he, like, freaking emails Social Security numbers all the time. But we'll hit that story after this one. So, yeah, the interesting thing is the reason why you're hearing it and the rest of the country isn't is because the only people who can vote on CISA are the only ones who can listen to the radio in D.C. And I'm guessing most senators aren't smart enough to have XM radio anyway. So it's probably good targeted marketing.
Yes. Well, actually, I would like to tell people that that they can do they can actually listen to DC radio stations on iHeartRadio and I think on RDO. I want to tell you, RDO threw me for a loop for a while because the RDO commercials, it's some sort of app that has radio and podcasts also, I believe, but the commercials. I was, complaining to my wife and saying, "Who are they making these commercials for?" It keeps saying, "Your phone isn't just a phone anymore. Now it can be a radio as well." And I thought, "Who are they advertising to that doesn't know that a phone can do more than be a phone?" And then their next radio ad went exactly like this. Remember when the whole family would gather around the radio in the evening? And I was like, oh, I get their target market now. It's very old people.
You remember when your dad used to stare at the wall for no reason?
Remember when Sundays was just for praying? Remember when every time father left, you were afraid he might not come back due to bears?
Remember yes. Remember when you had your own drinking fountain?
Wow, dude.
That's literally the crowd they're going for, though. You know it is.
Yes. Yes, that's why...
Do you remember when Takis first came out?
That actually makes
boy
the
Al Jolson. He was fantastic, wasn't he?
All right, but yes, people can listen to DC radio very easily on iHeartRadio and RDO. WMAL is sort of the right wing station. WTOP is much more. The news stories on there are much more wider in spectrum. It's more of a news station, but they are much more biased to the left. Actually, WML cracks me up because WML has WMAL. I should sound that out when I say it because it sounds like gibberish when I say it quick. It sounds like an archangel. Archangel WMAL. Yeah, so WMAL, even though it's one of those very right-of-center stations, they still have ABC News doing their news breaks. So the news breaks are still like, you know, you have the Republican talking head yammering on and on about how, you know, Planned Parenthood is the worst thing in the world. And then the ABC talking head goes, in videos, heavily edited videos of Planned Parenthood. And it's like, okay, somehow this news station got the contract for WMAL and not Fox, so I'm a little shocked by that. I would like to say that
I noticed that this morning, you know, listening to BBC News on and ABC News off of the Amazon Echo, which is probably listening to me right now. But the fascinating thing about that is now, you know, they're talking about everybody in Europe. The phrase they're using is migrant. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that kind of implies, you know, they got your shovel, they're trying to take your jobs, you know?
Well, or, you know, it's like migrant also means I came here because I wanted to. You know, that's migrant means, you know, like the whole thought of, you know, people coming here from Mexico. It's like,
right?
People come here from Mexico because they want to. They want to get a job in America. It's not because there's somewhat of a different religion who's going to cut their head off if they don't.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand it, because it's like I think that, you know, refugee. I don't know in. Maybe it's just the American thing, but, you know, when you say, hey, this refugee needs our help, I'm thinking, yeah, that refugee needs help. You know, if I hear migrant, it sounds like, hey, yeah, he's showing up, he's trying to get a job, or he's got a job, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't understand why they're making that. And I mean, these are, I don't get it. I don't,
a lot of times too, in the DC area, migrant means, you know, like, hey, I came here because my family owns several businesses and they had a job for me. You know, like, it's not at all a situation where the person needs help. It's a situation where the person's better off than a lot of others.
Or in this area, Margaret means, you know, you work here during the summer. In the winter, you go down to the Honduras, work there, and then come back up here during the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they're migrating back and forth. I don't understand. Like, refugee seems to be a much more logical term for somebody who I'm like, holy crap, we have to help this dude.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a refugee, you're a refugee.
Well, you're seeking refuge.
Exactly. So we were talking about that weird situation. Also, bringing up another issue, I want to spell something out for people.
Wait, did I spell CISA well enough?
What?
Did I spell CISA well enough?
Put a link on the,
oh, okay,
when we publish this in the WordPress, put a link there.
Okay.
I want to spell something out for people. ISIS. Do you know what ISIS stands for?
It means information security and infrastructure sustainability.
Thank you. Not the InfoSec. Okay. Not the InfoSec acronym ISIS. I want the acronym that, for ISIS, the ones that are killing people, the child rapists.
Oh, and so not the ones that are Archer's nemesis in the show Archer.
No, no, no. Archer was in ISIS. Odin was their nemesis.
Odin was their nemesis.
Yes. Odin was the, and not even their nemesis, it was their competition.
Yeah,
yes.
I had to hack off H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, I know. When ISIS starts, you know, a child rapist group called ISIS starts ripping off the name of their group, that's terrible. I know that's a first world problem, isn't it? Like, oh, gosh. My favorite cartoon has to change the name of the thing. We're so put upon here in America. Okay. But yes, what does ISIS, the ones that are killing people, what does that stand for?
Islamic State, and then the other part is like it more draws out the region, right?
Right. There are two. There are actually three commonly known acronyms for Daesh, which is the Arabic for Islamic State. Daesh or Daesh, depending on who's pronouncing it. So that's the Arabic, which just means kind of like Islamic land, Daesh. And then there's ISIS, which is Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And then there's ISIL, which is what the president likes to use, because the president, I think, kind of doesn't believe in the validity of a lot of countries in the Middle East, or at least one country in the Middle East. And one of Daesh's acronyms in English demeans all of the Middle East, clumping it into an older term called the Levant. So it's Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And then the one that's most commonly used now is IS, which stands for Islamic State. Yeah. Now, I was told by someone, and this was horribly painful, a painful experience, being told this and being told this seriously, saying, "Do you know what ISIS stands for?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you really?" I said, "Yes, an Islamic State of Iraq and Syria." He goes, "No, I heard it stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service." And it hurt my brain. It broke my heart, because it was just, for one thing, no. It's not a conspiracy theory to say that America is largely behind ISIS. It is not a conspiracy theory. America has accidentally, giant air quotes on that, dropped ammunitions packages and care packages on ISIS-controlled territory. And prior to that, America has trained a lot of soldiers, training them for the rebel group that is supposedly the savior of Syria, the Free Syrian Rebels. And they also came up with a term to describe them to Americans to make them seem like people that we should be supporting. They call them moderate rebels, which is, I mean, if you know the definition of those words, you know that that's ridiculous. There's no such thing as a moderate revolutionary. Like, that would be like me saying, I agree with Democrats a lot of times, but, you know, a lot of opinions I agree with Republicans, so I'm kind of middle of the road, and I want to overthrow the government. See how that doesn't make any sense, and that's not a real thing? You can't be a middle of the road revolutionary. So we supported a bunch of people, these middle of the road revolutionaries, these people that are nice and calm and peaceful, but still want to overthrow a government. Those people we trained and gave weapons to, and then the majority of them defected to either just ran away, or they defected to ISIS. So there are a lot of ISIS people who we literally trained, and that's not even conspiracy stuff. That's just stuff that's true that happened. Like, that's egg on our face. We trained a bunch of people, and then they ran off to the child rapist group.
That's consistently happened many times throughout our history. There's these brave fighters called the Taliban.
Yes, yes. What was
and
it?
Then
later,
Al Qaeda. There, you know, the Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, it's It's really embarrassing. But yeah, so I explained to him, I was like, listen, and it's not Israel. ISIS isn't Israel. It's Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. It's and I explained to him the origins of ISIS. I said ISIS, you know, came from a lot of Al-Qaeda people in Iraq were kind of dissatisfied with how diplomatic Al-Qaeda was being. And then they found a more radical voice voicing jihadi views. And that person's name is Ayman, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is the religious leader of the Islamic State, somebody who believed that, see, because Al-Qaeda was just working towards jihad, but Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi stated that, you know, we don't need to work towards jihad, we need to declare the caliphate, declare the land is Muslim, and, you know, declare Daesh. So it's an entirely different country, essentially, and yes, American fingerprints are behind the military strength of it, but its signature is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's, and its people are from Iraq and Syria, and volunteers from around the world who believe in Islam. Now, when I hear, and I've seen so many things, people blaming Israel for ISIS. And it's so frustrating because I don't know if you noticed this, but Israel doesn't pull punches. If you shoot at Israel, expect a missile to come back the direction of the bullet you shot. Like, Israel doesn't pull punches. But they sneak around. They do intel in other countries, but they're not like the covert, we're going to sneak around in another. I mean, for one thing, yeah, I feel like it's such an American thing to go, oh, all those people look alike. They probably just sneak in to each other's groups. And, you know, it's just insensitive to the real situation there, which is Israel is on the defense trying to protect itself. They do not pull their punches. They will protect themselves violently. Israel is fighting ISIS when ISIS, you know, scuffles with them on the Syrian border. That's happening. Israel is not benefiting from ISIS, except that ISIS is fighting with other anti-Semitic groups to be the most anti-Semitic. But ISIS claims Israel belongs to them. So the whole point of ISIS is to wipe out Israel, and to claim the entire Middle East as Daesh. So no, ISIS is not Israel. ISIS is more American than anything. Beyond everything, you know, if you're going to say it's, you know, Western powers, then yes, America does need to take credit for some of the malarkey that is ISIS, but ISIS is itself a thing. It is ISIS.
The people that make that mistake, though, are not going to be the people that understand the difference between anything. It's kind of like there was the rumor, and even the, I think it was the state poet laureate of New Hampshire, whatever, said, did you know the Jews all got a call to before 9/11 to not go to the towers? And I said, and so I was like, okay, anything without evidence can be dismissed without prejudice. And so I said, oh no, didn't you hear? It was actually the Hindus that got the call. And he goes, what? And so he goes running off and searches around, and he's like, hey, I can't find anything about the Hindus thing. And I'm like, yeah, because there's as much evidence of that as there is that the Jews got the thing. And I said, and, you know, disproportionately, the numbers of people that died, you know, from different religious groups.
Well, can I say, too, it's like, it's, you know, it's I don't know. Let me just back to one last point about the ridiculous conspiracy I heard. The conspiracy that Israel is you know, the power behind ISIS is I've heard it trumped by a guy who has been writing action spy novels for years, yet didn't know how top secret compartmentalized data works in the United States government. And of course, I'm talking about Dr. Michael Savage. His doctorate, I respect doctors, so I will give him his title doctor. But I want to point out his doctor is in botany. He is not a guy who is wildly educated on subjects like, current affairs in the Middle East. He's a radio talk show guy, and for some reason he thought it made sense on his show to say that Israel is behind ISIS, and it's just mind blowing. And of course he's followed by the Alex Jones crowd, which is ever so educated in the world. Okay, so I want to point some major thing out though. If Israel is really behind something, they're not going to name it Israel Secret Intelligence Service. Like, holy crap. Like, that's the dumbest thing ever. You should know that. Everyone should realize, oh, yeah, of course no one would ever do that. That's so silly. This isn't a cartoon, you know, where we can just go, oh, well, okay. You know, like, we're not going to go, hey, we're going to make a fake terrorist group. You know, the CIA is going to make a fake terrorist group in Pakistan. We're going to call it the Caliphate of Allied Islam. And we're going to put it over there. Get it? It's CAI. So it's like CIA. You know, no one's going to be that stupid.
Hold on. That is the absolute thing. Perfect segue into the other news story.
All right.
So
perfect,
yes.
Segue time.
CIA Director John Brennan's personal email account hacked, and emails posted online. And the hilarious part of that is it says they also claim to have breached the Comcast account belonging to Homeland Security Secretary
Jeff Johnson.
It's like I'm checking. Like, is that a typo? No. And then coming from Brennan's AOL account. Honestly, I mean, that should be grounds for, if I was interviewing you in my field and you hand me your resume and it says AOL on it, I will burn it in front of your face.
Yeah, I've not been impressed with anything I've heard Jeff Johnson say.
Brennan was the AOL, but...
goodness.
But yeah, Johnson at least had the crappy Comcast account that came with his, you know, home internet. but yeah, I'm like, okay, all right, let's start from the... So in the documents found, it says the hacker spoke to the New York Post, which is absolutely a hilarious sentence in my world, which described him in the article published Sunday as a stoner high school student motivated by his opposition to U.S. foreign policy and support for Palestinians. In his Twitter account, he includes links to files, he says, of Brennan's contact list, log of phone calls by then CIA deputy director Avril Haines, among other documents. This is coming from the Associated Press. He was kind enough to redact the Social Security numbers out of some of the documents he posted online. But okay, so what have the IT people been stressing for decades? Email.
Don't bring your own device.
No, that's the trial happening tomorrow. For years, IT guys, we've been stressing, don't send anything through email, because the way the email was designed, I think it was 1969, the guts of it, it can travel over the internet through unencrypted sources, bounce around. There's no way to know if it's encrypted or not at any given point in the conversation. And in this case, it's probably just sitting around on a server somewhere. They guess it's public knowledge. You know, that's the thing. The other thing I tell people, don't be sending social security numbers through email ever. Just don't. Keep the right files on your server. There's other ways to have encrypted conversations. That's a subject for a different day. But the other
The OPM hack, the reason why me and you and a bunch of other members of our family are being offered free background checking, free identity protection software by the U.S. government is because they hadn't encrypted our social security numbers, which are kept on file for background checks and for military service basically any government work you do through, DHS or background checks, whatever, and it's kept on file, but it's supposed to be encrypted, and they hadn't encrypted our social security numbers. So, yep. Could be out there in Russia.
Yeah, so the other thing I was going to say is if you are a public figure of any kind, of any shape or form, and you are filling out the things that say, hey, what was the first high school you went to, or your mother's maiden name, this is how Palin got hacked all those years ago. She was honest on her things. What high school did you graduate? Wasilla High School. Well, guess what? That's on Wikipedia. So they say, oh, I forgot my password. Where was the last place I went? Wasilla High School. So that's the other thing I tell people is, write it down. Pick something in your house that's that only means something to you. That nobody kicking in your door is going to steal. And write down the lies you tell. So, if they say, hey, what was the last high school you attended? Well, you attended high school in Beverly Hills 90210,
Or what was your school mascot? Some a-hole.
Exactly. Satan. Yes. That's the key thing is, write down your lies so you remember your lies. Don't read.
What was your school mascot? Oh, well, it was the Smithville Aleister Crowleys. Yeah. Well, Aleister Crowley ran out onto the thing drinking goat's blood and stuff. It was pretty fun. A good halftime shows. Okay, go ahead.
Wait, what was your team's number one rival? The Incontinent Dwarves.
They were just their mascot just had like a tube, that like the whole head was full of water, so and the tube just runs down to the pants, so he's just running around on the trail coming up.
People are dribbling on the field afterwards and just slip.
Yes. All right.
So my point is remember sports ball. Yeah, remember your lies, but write down your lies, and lie because answering honestly. It is going to do nothing but get you hacked.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, and so I'm betting anything, the fact that it's a stoner high school kid that did this, it's the exact same thing. Figured out how he's on Comcast, he posted, another hack I know. Hold on, I have to, nope, can't tell that story.
Okay. Back in your old days, huh?
No. I don't know what you're insinuating. Let me think of it. Oh, well, here we go. Here's another one. Somebody had a problem with their account, and so they posted on a forum, going, "Hey, I have this problem with the account," and then they accidentally posted in their signature file, which identified who they were, where they were, what they did. And so, yeah, the person was honestly asking for help, but also was somebody that, having their personal account be identified is, it's dangerous. It's compromised. So.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough to actually need help and accidentally screw yourself like that. I really wish I could. I was trying to make a colorful word image, and I guess I could post this on the page. I was trying to make a colorful word image about how, you know, I am very middle of the road. I had a great conversation with just a random person the other day about how, you know, there's no middle of the road in politics. You know, you're either like with women's rights. I'm pro-abortion for the first trimester. So by that I mean first trimester and like morning after pills, I don't have a huge moral problem with. But after that time period, there's a time period where, you know, it's the clump of cells that are turning into a person but don't have like limbs yet. But then there's after a point where it's like, oh, that's clearly a hominid. So, like, logic and science is against stating that that's not a human at a certain point. Like, science isn't on your side to say, well, partial birth abortion is okay, because no, science is not on your side with that. That's a human being. That's the fully formed infant at that point. So, of course, I'm against partial birth abortion. And the guy I was talking to said, oh, yeah, I think most people are too. You know, real just your average kind of, you know, DC. He was sort of a laid back DC yuppie guy. And he was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I think you're right there with most people. You're probably in the majority on that opinion. I said, yeah, but, you know, when I say I'm against partial birth abortion, people are like, oh, you war on women, Nazi. And then I said, and then of course, if my parents found out that I'm okay with, you know, first trimester abortion, they'll be like, "What are you, a Nazi?" So, you know, but yes, it just made me think that in the most ridiculous straw man argument, the most ridiculous straw man that people see me as when. You know, when I say I'm actually against, you know, late term abortion, they no longer see me as a person that agrees with them on, you know, probably 90% of the issues that they have in their life. They then just see me as a man with a full size cross over my shoulder, you know, like the protester Christian guys wearing, you know, carrying the whole cross, and a God hates queers sign in the other hand, standing outside of a mosque pointing at it going, "These sand beaters killed Jesus." I'm not hearing you. Is there feedback? What's going on?
Sorry, I have my gain turned way down because I was sniffing like crazy.
Oh, you murdered me right there.
Sorry.
That's a chuckle line. I would have appreciated a chuckle if you thought that was humorous.
Sorry, I had laughed at it, but you'd also hit me with that earlier today. So
And earlier today, I knew that was equal response there.
No, I laughed at it, but I was like diving into the car.
Yes. I do want to say, though, while trying to find a visual aid for that joke, I did a search for man carrying full-size cross. And I found two pictures. And how easy would it be for you just to put that as the main photo? You could put those two together, the two I sent you?
The naked Asian guy.
Yes. Because yes, I found a naked American man. A fully clothed American man carrying a cross on wheels, and yet there is a Chinese man running through the streets of Beijing, carrying a full size cross that is bigger than him, and he is stark naked for no apparent reason, I don't think you need to be naked to carry a cross, but boy, he thought so. And, you know, he's, I mean, if you got it, flaunt it, right? You know?
I mean, we're looking at that picture. Okay. Even if, even if the cross is light, say, you know, 20 pounds, you know, you're going to get a lot of wind resistance. So
yeah, that's what I said. If it's made out of foam rubber, it's still going to be heavy. That's that size. So I don't know if someone could take a look at that and figure out where the heck I got that. I don't even know if I could find it again. It was such a fluke finding that image, but it definitely made me laugh. It made me think like, wow, the Chinese are even streamlining crazy Christianity. You know,
that there was like, a crazy picture a couple of years back of this giant Russian man with a cross too. I mean, like crazy big guy.
Yes.
I'm gonna crank my gain up just a hair. See if I'm hearing myself loud, but I'm not getting levels where I want to see him.
Oh, well, someday I'm gonna go to Mindanao and watch people nail themselves to crosses. That's a thing that people do.
That's nuts.
Yes. Do you imagine that? Like, I think that would have been the fastest way. Like, if my parents were like, yes, we believe in this Bible, and it was the, you know, the full Bible, reading the Old Testament, that made me convert to Judaism. But you know, that it took me years of you know, researching our history and past, our family's history and past, to see if there's any kind of legitimacy to me doing that, and then studying the actual beliefs of Judaism. And so, you know, it was when I was about 15 or 16, I started learning some Hebrew. And I think it would have been a lot sooner if my parents told me, we believe in this religion, and when's your turn to be nailed to the cross? I would be like, I am Jewish. That's my answer to that query.
It's one of those things, though, if you're raised in
that.
If you're raised in
that. That was Tech laughing. Because he's so appreciative of my commentary. What are you doing? Are you messing with your gain again?
No, I'm not messing with the gain this time. No, I was trying to say, I mean,
are you even there?
Can you hear me?
Did you disconnect yourself from this conversation?
Can you hear me right now?
Did you click a wrong button?
No, I can hear
you. I think
you
clicked a wrong button.
Can you hear me?
Because I don't hear you.
I hear you.
Let me go to Facebooks and
all right, let's
and see. Use the messenger to talk to you. Can hear you me? Question mark.
Yes.
Can hear you me?
All right, let me stop recording.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently audio problems are going to be consistent no matter what interface we're using. But I am recording now.
Well, we have good equipment. We're just, you know, we're just working everything out. And the important thing is that I enunciate. No, the important thing is that we talk about the issues and we give our unique, independent perspective on them. That's what's really important.
Yeah. So
Do you concur?
Yep.
Do you concur, Tommy?
Yep, I concur. And what I was saying, about you, raging douchebag, liberal, conservative nutbag. You're either hauling a cross around or spraying fire madly at innocents.
Recycling like a hippie.
A bad week in shootings, though. There was a zombie get together thing in Florida where one dead and four injured, and then an actor at one of those outdoor drama things was supposed to have blanks and ended up firing five live rounds into people.
It was.
Yeah, it's like, okay. All right, you know, yeah. I'm for gun ownership, but you dumbasses are really making us look bad on a global scale.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, though. It is a matter of reporting because, you know, you'll hear every bad thing in America reported because it's America. It's, you know, still the number one economy in the world. So when stupid people do stuff in America, it's, oh my gosh, America, the one who's still number one in a lot of ways, is doing stupid stuff. But, you know, number one in murder in the world is Honduras. So you don't hear that. Mind you, a heavily gun-controlled country. Number one in murder in the world. America is way down the list in murder. We're like 111 in the world for murder rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, not number one in the world. Not even close. It's just the fluke, crazy people and stupid situations and domestic. There was another shooting in Prince George's County, right outside of D.C. Like early morning, I think, and it was a domestic. It was a guy, I think, shooting his stepson or something to death.
Oof.
So.
Yeah,
so,
I mean that's been my complaint with, you know, the thing is, you know, originally when our gun laws were set up, the concept was, hey, you could be called up to defend yourself against a government coming in, because, you know, we had very small, narrow borders with other countries that were around us. But now the weapons that governments use are drones or cruise missiles, those kinds of things. Your gun is insignificant. And, you know, you're not allowed to have access to anything that actually could stop any modern government. And probably for good reason. But if you have a gun, chances are you've got a 2-to-1 chance that you're going to shoot yourself, not anybody else. You know, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's there are a lot of goofy accidents and stuff. That's why, it's another thing, too. Teaching fear and paranoia of guns doesn't help that statistic. In places like Texas, there's actually, you know, less people shooting themselves with guns than in places like Chicago, which, you know, Chicago is all about, the fear of weapons, the fear of guns. It's super, super gun-controlled place. Well, it's basically like, let me just ask you this. Does abstinence-only sex education work, you know, to prevent pregnancy?
Actually, abstinence education is phenomenal at increasing birth rate and causing STDs.
Exactly. So you have the same people that are like, you need to teach sex ed because abstinence only doesn't really do it. Well, that same exact thing can be said about gun control. Because when you say guns are completely bad, you should never even look at a gun. Well, guess what? You just made something taboo. You made people know how powerful it is. Bad people run out and get it. Good people abstain from it. And there you go. You have Southeast D.C., West Baltimore, Chicago. You've got all the places where the good people are disarmed and bad people don't follow the rules to begin with. So that's the issue. I had a coworker, who is, he's got a gun on his hip, and he goes, you think they should be passing some more gun laws, right? I said, the only people gun laws affect are me, you, and that's it. Nobody else around us is going to pay attention to those gun laws.
Yeah.
Just us, the law-abiding gun owners. The other people either don't want guns, and the ones who want guns are the bad guys, and they don't follow the rules. So, we weren't talking about guns necessarily. We were transitioning to other issues. I wanted to jump to the candidates. Is that good with you?
Actually, I have to get up at crazy early, so.
Okay. Well, I'll make this quick. Somebody walked in on Trump and said, "Trump, you're failing. You're not crazy enough." And he said, "What do you mean? I'm not crazy enough? I win at everything. I win at crazy." And they said, "But, you've come out as a birther and an anti-vaccination person, but you haven't been a truther yet." And so he went out on public television and said that George Bush should have knocked those planes out of the sky with his hands, and since he didn't, he is culpable for 9/11. So, but Donald Trump would have. Donald Trump actually would have used his super winning mind powers and would have, he would have convinced the terrorists just to stay home with his amazing immigration policies, and wouldn't have done there. Ben Carson posted a thing online, and can I just tell you, he did a cardinal sin. He did a ridiculous sin in my book. Can you guess what it is? I'll give you a hint. He posted a video online.
And it's the wrong orientation, right?
Yes. He's a friggin' brain surgeon. And yet the orientation is wrong. It's stupid. You're a brain surgeon. Hold the friggin' thing right. Proper. Holy crap. So yes, people are always saying, "Oh, well, he said that thing about Jews in the Holocaust. That was insensitive." I would like to point out that what he said was the Holocaust would have been harder had the Jews had weapons. And it's actually a fact that the Bielski Ozviat would champion. They would say, yes, not only would it be harder for the Nazis to kill Jews, it would have been impossible because some of the Bielski people are actually still alive from what I've heard. So it was a commune. The Bielski brothers started a Jewish commune that actually got pseudo recognition by the Belarus military as a communist organization. They didn't support them when they were in combat. So literally it was Jews with guns fighting Nazis, and they survived. They survived World War II. So, kind of unapologetically, what Ben Carson said, while seeming completely insensitive, was true. Guns are helpful when protecting your life from bad guys with guns. It's kind of a duh situation. But yes, all right, that's my piece. Do you have any point on the Republican candidates?
Not right now. There's kind of a lull as we're between debates for the different groups, and
you should have just said anything. You should have been like, "Rubio's a poop nose."
I'm just waiting for the next candidate to just take his entire foot and jam it in their mouth.
Right. Well, if
Biden decides to run, yeah, he's the odds-on favorite for saying the most. I mean, because he's hilarious around an open mic.
Yeah, I kind of love Biden because of that. He called somebody his butt buddy. He's like, "Yeah, it's my old butt buddy. I missed you, buddy."
Yeah, well, and he's known to drop the F-bomb on open mics.
Yes. And also, according to the Secret Service, he skinny dips naked.
Oh, there you go.
He skinny dips. I don't mean to be redundant there.
You're all from right. the Department of Redundancy Department.
I graduated from University of Maryland University College.
Nice.
Yes. I'm not actually from there, but that is a real place to look it up. It has universities twice for some reason.
All right. I'm starting to get weird audio now anyway, so let's wrap it up, and I'll try to stitch together these two files instead of nine this time at least. So.
All right. Cool. This has been the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground, brought to you by Pizza Bullies for good pizza and wings in the D.C. metropolitan area, and D&M Consulting. That's D as in Daniel and M as in Michelle Consulting, dnmconsulting.com.
I really hope this crap recorded. All right, bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.